Hello and welcome to another edition of Listen In with K&N, presented by 96.9 FM and 1340 AM Fox Sports Radio. I'm your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson, here for a live edition from the beautiful campus of Towson University in Towson, Maryland, right outside of Baltimore. Joined by my co-host for today, Mr. Richard Miles, senior of the Minor Football League. Miles, how are you?
I'm fine.
It feels good to be back, second
absolutely,
year in a row.
Absolutely.
Yes, and for a good cause, and I love it. It's pouring rain if you look outside right now, but that's not stopping anybody here. Still a great, fun event. If you can get down here, we're going till 11 o'clock a.m. for the Zero Prostate Cancer Run or Walk in Baltimore 2018. Back again.
And, you know, it just goes to show you that all these people did not let the rain deter me
yeah.
from coming, because I'm quite sure cancer affect everyone out here in some way or another. So, you know, I just commend all the people for coming out to support this.
Yes, I mean, it's nice. Like I said, the rain could have easily deterred a lot of people, right?
Right.
Even if you had already registered, but it just shows you we're all here for a good cause. It just shows the beautiful power and spirit of just people coming together, as you said, for a great cause. Cancer affects a lot of us in different
right.
ways. Prostate
right.
cancer in itself. 1 in 9 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime. Just let that simmer in and think about that. 1 in 9 men. That probably means somebody you know will be diagnosed with prostate cancer. But we're here to raise money for a good cause, for research. We have free we have free prostate cancer screenings. We're even giving flu shots here today. So it's all for a good cause.
Right. It's definitely for a good cause. Like I said, being an African-American black male myself, and it's not a color issue. I mean, a colored thing. It's a lot of people need to look forward to prevention is the key to it all.
Prevention is the key.
I'm excited about coming every year
yeah.
because it's affected my family personally. So I encourage everybody to get screened and get them,
yes.
Get checked, because this is a killer.
We cannot emphasize that enough. Please go to your doctor, get checked. It's better to be preventive than reactive
right.
once it can happen. All right, well, let's get into the show. Of course, it's a sports talk show, and we have to bring in a very special sports guest where I'm excited. This is the first professional race jockey I've ever had on this show, so very excited.
Right.
I'll be welcoming in Miss Jen Miller. Jen, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's so good to have you. A new race, I understand, from Laurel Racetrack.
Yes.
Okay. And it's currently season, right? You're
yes.
currently doing races. Okay, this is great. So we're going to have to get down
yeah.
there eventually. Well, Jen, I'm excited to have you, and I understand this is your first year participating in the Zero Prostate Cancer Race.
It is.
What brought you out this year?
Honestly, it's just a really good cause. I got wind of it around the track that there were some jockeys coming out to sign autographs, and I thought that's a great cause. I'd like to get involved.
Yes.
So here we are.
Yeah. Very simple and easy. We have celebrities here. Yes, we're very excited to have you. And Jen, just to talk a little bit more about you. So I was not as familiar with the race jockey scene here in Maryland. I guess we are used to seeing the big races on TV, but just to give a little bit of background, I found this very interesting. So I understand 1 month before Christmas, you actually were hospitalized with a severe concussion and you broke your jaw following November 25th spill. I mean, just that going through your mind and just having to get hospitalized after that, how were you able to get back up and back into the races? And what would you tell people who may have had those severe injuries? Like, how do you get back, you know, in the mindset and getting back to doing what you love?
Well, it's definitely been a long process, and I'm actually not back racing
okay.
yet. I'm still probably a few months away.
Okay.
They don't know for sure with head injuries, because everyone
right.
is so different. It's not like a bone where you can
right.
say
right.
2 months and
a quick heal. Right, we know.
Right,
right. with a bone.
And it's really just been step by step.
Yeah.
Go to physical therapy, just step by step, getting back in shape, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
The drive is still there.
Here.
I miss
yeah.
it. And same motivation really that got me there in the first place
right.
is what's bringing me back.
Wonderful to hear.
Well, you got a big fan here, because yes. you know, a woman, I mean, that's exciting to see a woman being a jockey.
Race jockey,
you know,
yeah. Do you know the statistics by chance of how many women there are?
I do not know
okay.
the actual statistics. I will say one of the wonderful things about Maryland racing is Maryland has always been very more favorable towards female jockeys
wonderful.
Than a lot
Good.
Of the rest
yeah.
of the world. And so we do actually have more female jockeys
yeah.
here in Maryland
wow.
than many other tracks.
Wow, that's
and
huge.
That being said, it's probably still not more than 5%.
Right, it's probably still small.
Well,
right. It's a start. But
yeah.
we hope to keep building on that, right?
Yeah.
We hope to keep increasing that number. But still, it's inspiring to see this. Young girls here can see somebody like Jen and see that they can do it too. I think we need to see more of that.
Absolutely.
So
young ladies that's right
yes,
here,
that we
right
have
now,
currently watching with us. They can they can peep on her and actually see again that they too can be race jockey. So let me ask you this. I feel like it's something that, even though it's Maryland, I feel like a lot of people still don't know about the whole jockey scene and stuff like that. What do you think is the most misconception of the sport in general?
I think a lot of people don't realize that the horses are athletes, not just physically,
mm-hmm.
but athletes, whether it be football or baseball or basketball players, the same way you see them with the drive and the want to win,
yes.
Horses get that too.
Wow.
Horses, they learn what the sport is about. They understand that their goal is to get to that finish line first.
Right.
And there's actually an incident yesterday at Parks Racetrack in Philadelphia where a horse that was running second, he was getting passed, he reached over and tried to bite the horse next to him.
Oh,
which
my
is
gosh.
Not okay.
Wow. Right.
The horse is competitive.
Yeah. Right. Seriously. Like, wait, I don't want to win this.
He didn't want to lose.
Yeah.
They get the same drive that we get. They love their job.
And that just shows you.
And a lot of people, I think, don't realize that they actually understand what it's about, and they want to do it as much as we do.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. And Jen, I have to ask this question, though, because I know this always comes up, and I'm sure you've gotten this question. For, let's say, for the animal rights activists, and I'm sure you've probably heard this before,
absolutely.
Too. What would you say to those people who, like, just think, unfortunately, that the horses are maybe being mistreated or, you know, forcing them to do things that they don't want to do? What would you kind of say to that end or that standpoint?
And, you know, I really think until you get, like, on the backside of a racetrack and actually see firsthand how they're treated, you can't really judge.
Right, you can't judge.
If anybody wants to come back, I mean, there are so many people in this sport that would be willing to take somebody and introduce them to what it's really about.
Right.
We teach the horses. Certainly, they're not born doing this.
Right.
We teach them, but it's the same way you teach kids in school.
Right.
We teach them what it's about, and the ones that don't like it, they don't try very hard. They don't win very many races.
Right.
So we send them on to other careers. We don't force them to do it
because so that,
they have to try to win.
Right.
It has to be something they want to do as well.
Right.
It has to be something they want to do as well.
Exactly. So the ones you see out there running often, they want to. And it's not cruel. Let them do something they want to do.
Right. No, I'm glad that's why I wanted to ask you. I wanted to address that point because I feel like I get that all the time.
Right.
I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure she gets it too. But Jen, we're so excited to have you. Let's say, what would be your last thing? What would you want to say to a prostate cancer survivor that's out here listening or watching the show right now? What would be like your words of inspiration or advice to them?
Honestly, from my, I haven't had a battle cancer, but having come back from a head injury from my own experience, I imagine it's probably similar for them.
Right.
I think the best thing you can do is just get out, be an activist, talk to other people, get the information out there, and teach people about how it's prevention is worth more than reacting later.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Go out, get checked, take care of yourself beforehand.
Yes.
So that hopefully you don't have to deal with it later. And then hopefully we'll eventually raise enough money and solve this problem, be able to cure it. But in the meantime, let's just try to prevent it.
Yes, perfect. Well said. Well said. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
and
you.
Please, everyone, come down and see Miss Jen Miller here at Towson University. I understand you'll be here till about 11 a.m.
I will. I'll be here until there. And all those people who are so dedicated running and working, I'll be here as long as they are.
Perfect. I love it. So come down and see us, Jen. Thanks again so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Well, Miles, I mean, that was great.
Oh, absolutely.
Wonderful.
I mean, very informative. I learned a lot that I did not know about racing, horse racing, that is. But I like the fact that she said that it takes time, even from her injury, that it's not something that you can just, you know, just bounce back from.
Right.
And I like the message she gave. Prevention is the key.
And prevention is the key. Say. That's what we're going to be preaching all day. Prevention is the key. And I said her life story is just a testament that you can give back and continue doing what you love. But
time.
I would say be safe. Because sometimes I feel like people try to rush athletes back into things before they're fully healed.
Right.
We have to remember they're people.
And
we don't want them to. Right.
Right.
You know, they're not robots that can just be, you know, it's a scrape and we can easily fix it. No, we're people, we're human beings. So it's an honor to have Miss Jen Miller on.
Okay.
Things going. Let's
Thank
keep things
you.
Going.
Okay. Let's keep going. Okay, but like I say, the rain did not deter people from coming out here. As you can see, or if you can't see, it's so many people out here. And you know, I was thinking about getting up and run myself a while, but, you know, Kelsey had to hold me back because I was getting ready to go out there and run.
Oh, my gosh.
You know,
I want to see you. Uh-oh,
me, but,
we
you
have
know.
A celebrity in the building coming up.
How you doing?
Thank you so much.
Uh-oh.
Good. How are you?
I'm
Let's get
good.
Your headset on. And to everyone listening, wow,
Ravens
fan. There's a big game today, speaking of which.
Yes, at 1 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock, so we have to get them early. We have Captain Defense for the Baltimore Ravens. If you have been to a game at M&T Bank Stadium, you should know this face and this outfit and everything very well. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. All excited about the game coming up and, you know, attending this to get me going and get me pumped.
Yes.
And I'm a prostate Yes. Cancer survivor.
Oh, wonderful. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we have to ask you about that. So you're a prostate cancer survivor.
Yes.
What would you say to the others right now currently battling prostate cancer? What words of hope or wisdom would you give them?
Well, one thing, attitude has a lot to do with it. Yeah. And you have to control the things you can't you can't control. You can't control your attitude. You can't control your mood. You know, you got, you know, sometimes you have your down moments, but you can't let it drag on for weeks and months and things like that.
Right. So just we hear attitude, right? And it sounds easy enough to do, right?
Right.
But maybe when you're going to those doctor visits and, you know, you're having to do all this different stuff, having to take all this medication, how do you actually keep your attitude up?
Well, I can speak for myself because attitude is attitude is 80% of anything.
Yeah, I agree with you.
What you say to yourself is more important than what they say.
Yes.
And sometimes you got to lift yourself up, right? Because I'm the type of person, I'm planning on living to be 100, so every decision I make, so I try to take
my own heart.
Right, man. So since I'm planning on longevity, everything I do is focused on that, right?
Right.
So sometimes you got to drag yourself up when you don't want to.
Right.
And sometimes you got to have a great support system, people around you, positive people around you that lift you up.
Yes.
And those down moments, they can put a hand and say, hey, it's going to be okay.
Yes. Well said. I feel like everything you said, too, can apply to the Baltimore Ravens season, right? It doesn't matter the last game,
right?
You
got to
keep it mental, right?
Right.
Today is going to be a new day. Hopefully, they're getting a win. I grew up a Ravens fan, if you can't tell already.
Right.
So that's why I had to have you on this show.
Yes.
He's a Patriots fan, so that's why we put him on that side.
We won't hold that against y'all.
Like I tell people, in life, it's only a game.
It's only a game. That's what it comes down to.
Like I said, the Ravens lost, but nobody died, so I put
it nobody died, and they live to see another day.
Hopefully,
today at 1 p.m., they get that. They start to get another win.
Even if the Ravens lost to Cincinnati, the sun came up the next day, so
okay. It did. And this is what I love, the positive spirit of it. So before we let you go, because I understand you have to go, but tell us a little bit more about, how did you get into this position that you're in? How did you become captain defense?
Well, when the Ravens first came in 1996, I was walking around the stadium, and I had a big defense sign, and since I had the 24s in the military, I had a pair of camo pants.
Yeah.
So I'm walking around the stadium, and this girl, she's about 8 years old, and she said, "Hey, mister, are you like the captain of the defense or something?" So when I started, I liked the sound of it. So I went home and, you know, Walmart bought some of them white iron-on letters.
Yeah.
And on captain defense, and I wanted to hyphenate defense for some reason. But anyway, so I went up for the next game. Upon entering the stadium, a gentleman says, "What's captain defense all about?" I said, "I like defense." And so, once Captain D gave my platform,
because
I've done weddings, funerals, bar mitzvah, bull and assembly, the Travel Channel flew me to the Super Bowl.
Oh my
gave
gosh.
Me tickets. I went to Nike for a photo shoot.
Wow.
And I was on Twitter the other day, and New Era says, "If we send you a bunch of ball caps, can you take pictures and put up on social media?"
Wow.
So I'm enjoying life
and
having fun, and I'm doing something that I would do anyway.
And that's what it's all about.
And I impact a lot of people.
Oh, and that's wonderful. And it's so true, because go to a Ravens game, and people smile. They light up when they see you.
Because
I can testify to this.
Right, because I've learned a long time, when you walk into the room, your attitude gets there before you do.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think he must be like my spirit twin, because people always say, "Why are you always happy? You're always smiling."
Right.
Why would I be any other way? I woke up, I'm healthy, you know, I'm living.
Right.
I don't expect how people want me to be. I say this all
What happens is a lot of people wake up in the morning, they beat themselves up, they keep saying what they're not, I'm stupid, I'm ugly.
What they don't have.
And what happened is they say that, and your brain search your database and check off everything you just said. This is why you're stupid. So I don't beat myself up every day, and I work on things I need to work on, but my glass is half full.
I love
it. And I'm moving through life that way. I don't worry about what they think.
Yeah.
They don't define me, I define me. I'm what you call a self-validated individual.
Yes.
But particularly, what I liked about this, that you created your own narrative. I like that. And remind me of the Chiefs that the Redskins mascot was. You know, he passed a few years ago. But I like the fact that you created something that's bigger than life, and everybody just said, "Wow!" Because you took the initiative and said, "Hey, this is what I'm going to do." And then in line with that, everybody you encouraged.
But it wasn't easy.
I'm quite sure.
When I first started, look at that crazy individual. Look at that weird individual. People say you're an icon now.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like it when I started.
Right.
But I kept showing up to events, and people started asking me, and I walk into the room, I'm in a positive attitude, because people like to be around positive energy.
Yeah.
And then people started inviting me places, and then I started reading a bunch of self-help books on, like, John Maxwell, How Successful People Think. The best thing he said is, he says somebody who know how will always be the have a job, but somebody who know why will always be the boss.
Ooh. Yeah. Post up wisdom.
Absolutely, post and that's great. I really love that. But, like I say, you know, this is great.
Glad to have you.
It's great. Glad to have you.
Yes.
You know, don't get mad when you see New England, though.
Oh, we're going to shut up. We got to cut his mic off.
Yeah, cut, turn his mic off.
Cut the mic.
Yeah. I have to get that in.
This is Raven's black territory.
Yeah, this is Raven's territory. He really shouldn't be on the radio. But we're glad you're here to support Zero Prostate Cancer.
Yes, that's why we're all here, right?
Team-wise. Doesn't matter what team you work for.
Exactly.
We all on the same team when it comes to prostate.
Yes.
The only defense against prostate cancer is early checkup.
Yes.
Early detection.
Okay, well said.
Well said, well said. Well, Captain Defense, thank you so much for joining us. Check him out at CaptainDefense.com. We know you got to get to the Ravens game.
Yes.
The Ravens fans need you. Thanks again.
Yes, I'm off to M&T Bank to bring that win back.
Bringing that win.
Thank you.
Ravens back in the win column. Thank you so much.
Hey, my pleasure.
A true pleasure having you on.
So we definitely, that was exciting. I mean, I remember when the Redskins had Chief up there. You know, he was the icon for the Washington Redskins. And to actually see that the Ravens have a mascot and someone as articulate and sharp as this individual is. And it's great. I mean, I like his whole getup, his whole uniform, his whole persona. And he got great attitudes. I like that.
He does. And honestly, when you go to a Ravens game, you know you're a Ravens fan when you know Captain Defense. And that's what it's all about. I love the super fans that every team has. And the Ravens have multiple. But again, even in the rain, he's going to get those fans happy and excited. And
he actually took time to come here and give his time, you know, to support this worthy cause. So I like that even more, the fact that he did come here and he's surviving himself as well. So that's great.
It's a true testament. It's a true testament.
Absolutely. And I might keep his card, too.
No Patriots fan.
You know what I mean?
I'll
send it up to the Patriots so we can get, you know, so we get on them, you know. I'm doing recon here and there, right?
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm coming here to check out Baltimore and see what they're going to do.
Well, we hope the Baltimore Ravens get in the win column later today. But joining us right now, we have Mr. Angel Cruz, another professional jockey from the Laurel Racetrack. Angel, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. First of all, Angel, I can't put it by me. Angel, you seem pretty young to be a jockey.
I know. Okay. I'm only 23.
He's only 23. No, I'm thinking it.
Only 23.
Only 23.
Only 23. Look like he's 16 years old.
Oh, don't do that.
That's a good thing, though.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
Especially when you get older, it's really going to pay off, right?
Yeah. So when you start getting my age, you ain't going to want people to know your age. So, yeah, this is the time.
But, Angel, tell me a little bit. So, you were a racetrack. How did you first get into it, first of all?
I got family that were into it first, and then I just took their step and just did what they did before.
Nice. Right. Okay, cool. So, tell me a little bit more about just racetrack history in Maryland. It's pretty strong, but it seems like it's still a sport that a lot of people don't know much about.
Yeah, it's a big sport, but a lot of people don't know because they don't react to it. Like, they don't. It's a lot of betting, a lot of money.
Yeah.
And you gotta have a lot of money to do it.
Right.
If you got it, go ahead and do it because it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
I'm just curious though, is there a sport of jockeying? Are they trying to open it up more to individuals who have different, let's say, income levels or things like that?
Okay. Yeah. I come from poor people and family in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
I came here when I was like 15, started doing it when I was 17. Took me about a year and a half to start riding horses.
Okay.
And it opens a lot of doors. You meet a lot of people that can help you. And if you're poor or you got money, it doesn't matter in the sport. They help you and you'll make it.
Wonderful.
Right. In some capacity, it affects people. And like you just said, going back to what I said at first, I told you 17, 16. Well, you started early, and that's good. And let me ask you something. Is it best that you start when you're young as opposed to older jockey?
Yeah, because when you're younger, you got more energy.
Right.
You got more intuition. And then when you start younger, you get more experience when you're older.
Right.
Makes sense.
I started when I was 17, so now I'm 23. I'm really smart when it comes of riding.
Understanding.
You learn a lot when you're younger to when you're older.
Yeah.
So that's why you start younger and then you get better with your age.
And I just want to point out to a lot of people, I don't know, Kelsey, have you ridden a horse before? Because you really have to have your thighs. I mean, to control that horse, your thighs. I mean, you get a workout on the horse. You know, I tell a lot of people that, and they don't understand. It's not easy to ride a horse.
It is not.
Don't look at
the
cowboy movie. Don't look at the cowboy movie and think it's just that simple.
Yes.
And I realize that, and I want people to understand what you do is not easy.
No.
You know, I want to stress that to a lot of people. It's not easy at all.
It's a dangerous sport, and you go 45 miles per hour.
Ooh,
it's fast.
Okay.
And you break a lot of bones if you fall down.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's a hard sport, but.
Let me ask you, Angel, what brought you out here today to the beautiful campus of Towson University here at Johnny United Stadium to support the Zero Cancer Prostate Cancer Walk and Run?
Well, in the morning they told me about it, and
this
I
morning,
say,
literally?
No, like 2 days ago. Not this morning, but it's a pleasure to be here.
But right,
it's a pleasure to be here and to bring people out here to support prostate cancer, and it's just a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, we're so glad to have you. It's a true honor. Thank you again so much for joining us. And just, is there any way people can look up more about you or find out more about you? Give us your social media information.
Yeah, my name is Angel Cruz, and you can find me as Angel Cruz in Facebook and Twitter. I got Instagram too. And if you Google my name, you'll find it.
Perfect.
Just say Angel Cruz
it's
Jockey.
It's a unique name.
And you
Angel
but
Cruz
it sounds
Jockey.
More like a boxing name.
That's
you know,
true, though.
Cruz, I know
like
a lot of people think
career,
that.
Never know.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of people think that.
Perfect, Angel. Thank you so much for joining us. And best of luck with
thank
everything.
You.
We
thank
appreciate
you.
Having
absolutely.
You on.
You know, that's the, you know, isn't that something? Just think about the fact that you got young people riding horses, and I tell people all the time, it's not easy to ride horses, you know. People think you start watching the old Western movies, you can just jump on there and ride the horse. It's not that simple. I did horseback riding a couple of times, and believe me, I don't want to do it anymore. So it just goes to show you, horseback riding is not easy, Kelsey.
It is not easy
at
all. Very, very difficult.
Thank you.
And he made it seem so easy, though.
You know,
I might have to go back
because
now.
Because he's young. Like you say, he's young. He's learning when he's young. Okay, so that's the most exciting part about being a jockey and learning about riding a horse. Because I know, man, I used to be so sore just riding.
It is.
Horseback
oh, my God.
Nah,
just getting on the saddle is, like, hard in itself. So, again, I commend them. All right, well, we are going
to
keep everything rolling and going. Next, we have Katie Davis joining us, another jockey from the Laurel Racetrack. Katie, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. I love it. Another female.
Yeah.
We were just talking about it.
Yeah. Taking over, you know.
Yeah. We're taking over.
The women taking over.
Katie, tell me a little bit. How did you first get into being a professional jockey?
Well, it kind of runs in the family. My dad used to be a jockey in New York, and he had six kids, so my older sister got into it. Then my younger brother did, and I kind of was like, I want to do this.
Yeah, and now look at you.
I know.
So how many years have you been professional?
On and off for 4 years. I had two shoulder injuries, same shoulder, and I'm finally just getting back into it the last 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And things are really good. They've been picking up nicely.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So what's next for you, Katie? When's your next big race?
Actually, today.
Oh.
I just won twice.
We got lucky. We got her today, the day of her race. Very excited to have you. So tell me a little bit about the race today. Can fans still come out? I mean, can they still get tickets? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So it's going to be at Laurel Racetrack.
Yes.
All right, tell us a little bit more about the race.
I mean, there's probably, I think, 10 races today. So there's a lot going on.
Nice.
You get a good crowd. We have barbecue going.
Oh, yeah.
Beer,
we're
going
to have to get down there.
It's very family-orientated. You know,
great.
We try to get the family in. And
love it.
Yeah.
And the rain's not going to stop them either, guys.
Nope. I'm excited about the women taking over now. Here we go again. This is the second one we have.
Yes.
Hey, that's
what
great.
What would you say to speak to that? I mean, I know the numbers are probably still small, and this is probably most sports, of course, but what would you say to females who were just even thinking about becoming a professional jockey? What words of inspiration would you give
you
them?
You know, I would say don't be afraid, because if you put your mind to anything, anything's really possible.
Yes.
I like that.
You stay with a positive energy, you know, you think positive, and if you have respect for yourself, you know, you'll go a long way in this business.
Well said.
Oh, wow.
Well said.
Okay.
And Katie, before we let you go, tell me, what brought you out here today to celebrate here the Zero Prostate Cancer Walk and Run in Baltimore?
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, the guys came over that were running this, and they're like, would you love to come? Before they even got the words, I was like, yeah, I'll go. I'd love to see people, get together and support them. And I worked this morning. I breezed about 4 or 5 horses this morning in the rain, so I was
I'm
trying to find this place. It was a lot of fun.
Yes, but we're glad to have you. Katie, thanks again so much. Before I let you go, where can people find your information?
You know what? You go on equibase.com,
okay.
And you can type in, you look for jockeys, you type in Davis, and you look up. Perfect. It's under Katie Davis.
Perfect.
So,
Katie Davis. Remember the name Katie. Thank you so much for joining us today. Best of luck in your race today.
Yes, thank you guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Perfect. I'm
excited
now. Women taking over.
Yes.
You know,
well, we've been taking over. I think people have just taken
over. Women taking over. But I'm going to give y'all props now because they're taking over. They have women jocks, so it'd be great, you know. It's great to have women jockeys, you know. But, you know, I'm tempted to try it. You know.
I think it's going to be fun to see you on a horse.
But when I say I'm tempted, you're supposed to say don't even try.
No, I want you to.
No. I said that for you to say.
I think you can sell a lot of tickets.
But I said that for you to say don't even try that.
We might have to see you on a horse, too.
No.
And Laura's not far. I mean, you can go right up the track.
I'm going to watch. I'm not going to get on no horse.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. For who? For me or the people watching me fall?
You know. I think for both parties involved, it'll be great.
You should try it, though.
Maybe. You know what? If it wasn't pouring rain, and I might have tried to get on a horse today. But me and the rain on a horse, it just doesn't sound like a good combination at all.
All you do is throw a hat on.
I do wear certain hats, but this is for everybody. Yeah, I do have a big forehead, so I can say this on air. So to everybody with big foreheads, you understand, certain hats look right on you.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm pretty picky.
Absolutely.
I'm pretty picky. All right, so joining us today, I have a special friend and guest, Mr. Rob Knox, who works here at Towson University. Let me get this right. The Director of Media Relations. Did I get it right?
Associate Director.
Media Relations. I'm already giving a promotion, but the Associate Director of Media Relations, Rob Knox. Rob, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here.
Yes.
I'm happy to see you.
Yes.
And be part of the program. So thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Rob is one of the hardest working men in the business. Literally worked his way up. We covered Mystics games from the start. And let me tell you, Rob is a true WNBA, Washington Mystics, really all WNBA women's basketball, big supporter of women's sports.
Well, you know, I'm learning. I'm getting
He's learning. He's one of the ones that have the nudge to get there, but he'll get there.
I'm there, and kudos to the our Mystics team.
Yes.
We got to the championship. I got to remind the ladies that, hey, you know, don't worry about next year. The main thing, we got there.
Yes.
And next year, we'll go further.
Yes, you sound just like Natasha Cloud.
Yeah, it was great being around that team this year and covering that team. And even though they lost that third game down at George Mason, it was just a wonderful atmosphere. DC came out to some
fun. When I saw the crowd, Bob, I was so excited.
It was great. It was great.
DC showed up for that.
Yeah, let me throw my little two cents. A couple of calls if it went our way.
Yeah.
Especially the second game, you know, it might have been a different story.
Oh my God,
but hey,
they
ladies, congratulations.
I think it just lays the foundation for next year. I was on a panel last week with Natasha Cloud, and she was so optimistic and excited about it. She said, you know what? It wasn't the way we wanted, of course, this year, but there's always next year. And they're only going to get bigger and better. So the Washington Mystics, congratulations to them. First time in franchise history getting there. Kudos to that.
Exactly.
And
I
think
the
DC team's moving on now.
Yes,
you know, the
Capitals,
DC
Valor.
Hockey, you know, basketball.
No minor league sports town here anymore,
you know,
DC.
Hey,
you know, I know it's a DC base, but you know, I got to give a shout out to my Super Bowl champ, Eagles.
I feel about that now. You know what I mean? New England, we got a couple of bad calls. I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to go into it.
Oh,
Redskins
my gosh.
Look good, though. Adrian Peterson looking good for the Redskins this year. So it's going to be interesting. You
know, and the Redskins are hoping to get another win today as well.
Right.
We have both of our teams playing here in the area.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Rob, let me ask you. So we have the Zero Prostate Cancer Walk Around at Towson University. As a representative of Towson University, why do you think it's so important that Towson University continues to hold just a great race like this, and just seeing the community of spirit of these people here today?
Well, one of the things we pride ourselves on here at Towson is being part of the community and opening our doors to the community and to the outside here at Towson. We have a wonderful facility. And
if you haven't seen this facility, this is nice facility up here.
Yeah.
You know, anytime we get a chance to show off our facility and welcome our community in, it's always a big thing.
Yes.
Last year we were second nationally in community service.
Go ahead, Towson Tigers.
So you know, community service is one of our core values here and part of our strategic plan. So
yes.
We love the community and our student athletes are it's a big deal.
Oh, I love it. Towson is beautiful, and I hope my little sister's listening because I'm trying to get her to be a Towson Tiger next year.
Yes.
Shout out to my little sister Katie Nelson. Maybe she'll end up here. I don't mind Towson. She doesn't want to be a Terp like me. So I told her I could do Towson. I can stay in Towson.
Towson's pretty good.
It's so good.
Good place, though. Nice. Got good staff here.
Yeah.
Great student
got
staff.
Got you here,
program.
So I'm obviously it's good.
Tell us a little bit. We got some inside now.
We do. So now, before we let you go, Rob, tell us a little bit. How are the fall sports doing here at Towson University?
Fall sports are doing well. We've just started, so to speak.
Yep.
Football, huge victory last week with Villanova.
Ooh, nice.
Villanova was ranked 10th in the country.
Oh, wow. Congrats, Tigers.
45-35. We were off this week, so we had to buy a home opener. Is on Saturday, so anybody that's listening, please come out 4 o'clock.
Home opener.
It's going to be. It's actually going to be a special day because we're celebrating our 50th anniversary.
Nice.
Of the history of our football program.
All right, Rob, I'm coming. I'm coming. I know I keep saying it. I'm going to come. Towson, I will be here on Saturday. I put it in my calendar.
Four o'clock. It gets to Citadel. Our team is 2-1. As I don't know, most of the listeners know, but Joe Flacco, younger brother, Tom Flacco was our quarterback, and
Joe Flacco's younger brother. Joe comes out to a couple games, and I'm assuming
he was at the Morgan State opener.
Nice,
Morgan State.
He was
over there. So football's doing well. We're excited about the progress and the work that's been put in by Rob Ambrose and his staff and the players they've brought in. So we're expecting to have a good year. We're beginning a 3-game homestand on Saturday. So 3 straight Saturdays.
Wow.
We're here. Soccer is supposed to play today at 2 o'clock.
You're looking at the weather. I see Rob Ryan is right.
Very,
good extended to all these people coming out here. So that's great because as you know, Cam Newton brothers down Howard.
Kalen Newton.
They won yesterday. Yep. So shout out to Howard.
But Maryland also beat Minnesota, so I had to put that out there. Even though it was at Georgetown's game yesterday, unfortunately the Hoyas lost their homecoming game to Columbia. I didn't even realize Martellus Bennett was a graduate of Columbia. I was like, no, they were shouting him out yesterday. Shout out to Martellus Bennett. But sorry, Hoyas, but everybody else here in the area looks like they won. So it's good. Rob, thank you so much for joining us and coming in the rain. This is a true trooper. He said, Kelsey, where will you be? He's like, I'm coming. And he's here in the pouring rain with a nice Towson University jacket. I got to get one of those.
Be prepared with the rain.
But thank you again. This is Rob Knox, the Associate Director of Media Relations here.
And co-signer president.
No, we're going to shout you out. And how do I say it again?
Co-signer.
Co-signer president. Yes, congratulations to Rob. Okay, I'm telling you, this is the man. And literally, if you want somebody, and this is why I love Rob, if you want to work in sports management, Rob is the guy to go to. He will mentor you. He will nurture you. And he is very good at that. He's very, especially getting minorities in sports. Rob is absolutely wonderful at that. And that's very, very important in this day and age. Rob, thank you again so much for joining us.
A
pleasure.
Thank you.
I'll be calling. I'll be definitely getting in contact with you as soon as I can. Well, so, you know, hey, this is your heads up for the, you know, like I said, I'm excited about all the people that's here.
Yes.
You know, I'm excited about Kelsey. So,
Rob, thanks again so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yes, a pleasure. Oh, my gosh. Well, we got to keep going and keep rolling.
You
know
what I mean? Everyone is here.
Uh-oh, we got to do a quick selfie.
Here. So, hey, that's the great thing about this, that everybody's supportive of this.
Thank you so much, Rob, for coming.
About this cancer run, the zero tolerance. I'm excited about it.
And speaking of excited, we are having the man of the hour.
Absolutely.
Dr. Sanford Siegel, how are you?
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Wow. Where did you start?
Wow. We'll let him go ahead and tell us. He do so many great things and have been doing a lot of great things. So I think we will do him better just letting him tell us about some of the stuff.
All right, I'll cue him in and then we're going to let him go, right?
So you make me sound good, though.
That's easy to do with you.
Right.
Dr. Siegel, I understand. So the Baltimore Zero Prostate Cancer Challenge presented by Chesapeake Urology Associates was founded actually in 2006.
Yes.
And this was the part that surprised me. It's now run in 40 cities nationwide.
Well, please don't insult us. 42.
Oh, 42 now. Okay. 42, we have to update this. 42 cities nationwide. Uh-huh. That is huge. So when you just see how much it's grown since 2006, how does that make you feel?
Well, you know, I really don't think about, you know, it's not about me. It's never been about me. I love that more and more cities are doing it. The more cities, the more money that can be raised, the more awareness that can be spread, the more education that can be had by others, and that's really what's most important.
And what would you, to the average person listening out there, I feel like prostate cancer is still one of those cancers that people don't know much about. What would you tell them? What do they specifically need to know about prostate cancer, and why should they get checked early?
Well, two things. One, there are no symptoms of prostate cancer, and two, prostate cancer kills a lot of men.
Yes.
It's the second leading cause of death in men. 28,000 men will die of prostate cancer this year. And unfortunately, if you're African American, You're more likely to die from this disease.
Right.
You're more likely to get it at a later stage. But there is light at that tunnel, and that's why we're out there advocating. Because if you are African-American and you're diagnosed early, you can be cured like anyone else.
Yes.
There's no reason that they can't be. And what I say in every church I go to, African-American men do not have to die unnecessarily from this disease. All they need to do is get screened.
And get checked and screened. And I can't emphasize that enough, because I have this conversation all the time, but so many men, especially in the African-American community, and Miles, you know this, do not want to go to the doctor all the time. And we always say this, we have to change that.
We have to change that narrative.
Well,
I'm going Monday. I already know.
Going Monday, which is great.
But, you know, as I stated earlier, it can be prevented, and outreach and education is the big key to it, because we still, as African-American men, males, we are a little afraid about going to the doctors. I don't know what it is and why to say that, because to be honest, I'm that way too. But as you get older, you learn to say, hey, let's go get checked out and see what this thing is.
One in four African-American men will get this disease.
Wow.
You know, when you have, you know, you go to church and I ask a quarter of the men to stand up and I say all of you will get prostate cancer,
it's
a powerful message.
Yeah.
You know, it is one in four, 25% of African-American men will get prostate cancer. And there was a recent thing that just came over the news about African-American women breast cancer.
Yes.
The whole community, men and women in the African-American community, need to take responsibility for their health and be checked. Man, woman, child, everybody. How are we going to have a better community unless we're healthy?
How can we get back to the community
unless we're healthy?
Right.
How can we make a difference in the community unless we're healthy?
Yes.
And that's what we're out there preaching around Baltimore.
Yes, it comes all
he's
back to health.
He's making a difference, even with all the work he's doing.
Yes.
And everybody else doing, it's still not enough. We still need more people to understand this is dangerous.
Right.
And we got to get
but
that
that's
understanding.
That's why I love that this race is here. It's educating people. We're all helping. We're helping to raise money.
This disease kills 28,000 men, and if you're African-American, you're more likely to die.
And it's
that is unnecessary.
Right, and we're trying to prevent that. This is why we have Dr. Siegel here on the radio with us, those of you watching, because please, we're not just saying this. He just gave you the stats, the statistics. 28,000, that's not a small number at all.
No,
that's a lot of men. Just knowing that you can hopefully prevent that. We're trying to help you live as long as you can.
A senseless death.
Right, a senseless death. A senseless death.
Really get, you know, get screened. So
and staying on this year's race, tell us a little bit. So we were here last year, which we're very excited to be a part. What? Tell us a little about this year's race. Are there anything different? Are there any changes?
Well, the only thing different this race, two things. Again, two things. One, it's raining.
Yes.
But
we're still here.
We see all these people coming out
here
to support the event and support the men and support the community.
Yes.
And second, you know, as you know, it's personal. In December, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. So it's become a personal crusade.
Right.
Not about myself,
but
about the difference that I can make and what Chesapeake Urology can make.
Yeah.
So those are the real differences this year.
Wow, and that's huge. Before I let you go, just what words of advice would you give? I know we have prostate cancer survivors here.
Yes.
What words of advice would you give to those right now who are currently battling with this cancer?
Well, to understand that to keep it quiet is not good. You need to talk about it. You need to talk to you if you have sons. You need to tell your sons to watch them, because so many times I see these African-American men come in diagnosed with prostate cancer, and I say, well, what about your dad? So, you know, my dad never talked about it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to talk about it. I said, you need to be open about it. You need to talk about it. You need to inform people. I have it.
Stop being afraid.
Check it out.
Right.
And let's all get well.
Yeah. Ooh, well said. Let's all get well. Dr. Siegel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
A true hero. We look up to you. Thank you for having
us
again.
Thanks so much for being here every year.
This means a lot to us. It means a lot to us. Very special having Dr. Siegel here.
And he's doing so much, and, you know, I met him last year, and I mean, this event is so great, and everybody's so supportive and stuff, in the rain.
It's a true community.
I would say it's a true community,
Phil.
So when we asked to be a part of this, I can't wait.
It means
a lot.
It means a lot, because
it touched my family in a personal way, so I understand the severity of this this cancer. I mean, we really have to understand what this entails, you know. So, you know, this is something that we really need to understand that this is a killer. You know.
Okay.
So let's know who you want to see next.
Okay, keep going. No.
You know, it's It's a killer. And but I'm excited about all the people out here. I was getting ready to run. You know, a friend of one of my friends came up
and that's what
run
you
and supported.
Which is great.
And, we got
to announce this one really quick because I know everyone's going to get really excited about this one. Earl the Pearl Monroe. You remember that name if you were here when the Baltimore
I used to wear the Chuck Taylors and stuff. I remember when they was up in Baltimore. So,
and also, oh my gosh. And then, of course, New York Knicks fans, that should ring a nice little bell for you all. I mean, just so much you could say about him. We had such a blast with him last year.
Oh,
came back out this year, a true supporter. I mean,
let me survivor.
Yes,
and a survivor.
Which is huge.
Absolutely.
And that's why I want everybody to realize that, like, yes, we have celebrities and things like that, big names, but prostate cancer doesn't care.
Doesn't care.
It does not care who you are, where your background is, who you are, how much money you make. It does not discriminate against anyone.
And so that's especially African-Americans.
Right.
You know, and being African-American.
Dr. Siegel just pointed that out. I mean, think about that. 25%.
Yes.
Most people, if you have a family,
die this year.
Right. 28,000 people. One in four males.
Right.
It's just
something that we all better be aware of, and you know, and we can't stress it enough that
it's
we
huge.
Need people to understand and get this screening, you know. And I was telling a friend of mine about it, and he came up in the rain.
Rare.
I got a friend of mine came up in the rain to support this cause, and he registered to run in here and stuff. So that tells you that we are taking it seriously. Some of us, not enough of us.
Right.
But
let's inform the people what's going on today. So,
absolutely.
We have a 10K and a 5K run.
Right.
Think about how long that, and in the rain, mind you.
And you know, mind you, of how many people that showed up. Now, we even got the little kids out here running. That's great.
We have a dad.
I'm a run. I'm getting ready to run.
A kid superhero, Josh. I'm very excited.
I'm getting ready to go run.
I love that the kids can dress up as superheroes when they're in the rain.
Me and Glenn gonna run.
Dress
Let's just go out there. I'm tired of it. I'm ready
in
to go
the
out
rain.
There and run.
It's going to be fantastic. And we already started the race. So it kicked off at 8:30 a.m. So for those that joined us very early, you probably heard the sirens go and the race has run off. And again, if you look outside right now, it's pouring rain. That's why I want you guys to really know what they are doing here today. We also have a 1 mile fun walk.
So I think I can make that. I think I can get in there. Glenn, we can walk in that.
This year, we have Zumba, which I'm very excited about. Zumba is really taking craze all across the nation.
It's the
new workout thing. Everyone's doing it. Not just women, I say, but men and women alike are joining it. But again,
Zumba.
Come out here if
you
can. I do know how to Zumba.
Okay, I used to
do Zumba classes at University of Maryland in the recreation department. So those other TERP graduates know where I'm talking about. It's fun. You make a lot of friends too in Zumba class. It's a good fun workout, which I like. Because I like to have fun when I'm working out.
Right.
Sometimes I don't feel like I'm working out. When you're doing Zumba, it just feels like you're dancing. You're having a good time.
Some people just got there to do it just to dance. You know?
But
that's moving, though. That's exercise.
It is moving. And I do want to shout out the survivors that we have. We have to definitely get one on the show. Just so people know, for the prostate cancer survivors, we have free breakfast for you, free hats, survivor-specific a tech run shirt. We have survivor-only door prizes. And also, we have a survivor winner in each of the 10K and the 5K category. And then, most important, we have a survivor ring of honor tribute. And also, survivors get free registration. You guys are why we're here today.
You guys
are truly why we're here today. You're a living testament to the importance of getting checked. And also just really just being an inspiration. I mean,
absolutely. Sure
that you can survive this, you can overcome this, but again, we're hoping for preventive reactions.
Right. And I hope people really take what we're saying to heart because, as you say, you know, African-American men get this cancer. And I want people to understand that. This African-American men get this. And, you know, one out of four will die this year from a prostate cancer. So that's something that we really want people to understand and understand the significance of and how dangerous this is about cancer and about getting screened, and especially survivors.
And just to put it more into perspective, there are currently more than 2.9 million men in the United States who have been diagnosed with prostate cancer. 2.9 million.
That's a lot.
That's a big number. But we're going to get back on a positive note because we're hoping people really understand the importance of getting checked.
Absolutely.
And in the building right now, as we promised, we have Earl the Pearl Monroe. Earl, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. This is a very far-fetched thing from the building, but it's good to be here.
Yes, we're honored to have you in the rain. Earl still came out today. Back again. Remember talking to you last year. How have you been since?
I've been okay. I'm, you know, right back this year, and you know, what impresses me is the enthusiasm of the people that are here. You know, on a day like this, you know, you wouldn't think that there would be this many people here.
But and they still came out.
Yeah, it's a great turnout.
It just shows, you know, no rain or gloom is going to stop us from helping to hopefully one day find a cure for prostate cancer, and at least until then continue to raise money for research.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Earl, so I asked you this last year, but tell me, what makes it different this year, you coming back to be here for today's race?
Well, I think the real difference in talking to Dr. Siegel, I mean, the change in him from last year to this year, the fact that he now has contracted.
Been diagnosed,
And, it's very interesting when the doctor all of a sudden has it, but his commitment to this is, so great that I think it really supersedes what this whole thing is all about. This is all about people coming together, speaking up, and hoping for a cure. And that's what it's all about.
Yes, and I understand, Earl, too. I don't know if people know this story, but you also are a prostate cancer survivor, right?
Absolutely.
Yes, so tell us a little bit about your story and just how you hope that it inspires others to hopefully be preventive and get checked early.
Well, you know, my story is the fact that, the main thing is getting checked.
Right.
And I had a habit of always going to the doctors anyway.
Yeah.
So, I was, diagnosed very early. But I never really thought about it, to tell you the truth. I've always had a very bright outlook about things. And I think that in itself is something that people should try and, think and feel about, how they would feel if they found that they had this disease. You've got to be happy about, life itself, and you think about the things that are happening to you, and you keep a great, outlook, bright outlook, and I think it helps you out.
For sure. I mean, even you, still to this day, still is smiling and happy and a true inspiration to everyone out here. I mean, Miles, just...
Hey, well, y'all have been my hero since I was young.
Yes.
But the Baltimore Bullet was glad when they did come to Washington. sad when he went to New York. But then again,
we still stay
with him. It doesn't matter. The fact that one of the greatest basketball players that ever lived.
Yes.
I'm just
a legend
honored
in the building.
And I'm just delighted every time. This is our second year doing this, and I love it. And every time I see you, I just get gloomy eyes.
We're trying not to fan out with you right now, Earl.
Yeah.
We're still fans.
Well, it's interesting because, it's been a long time since I've been here, and done this, when I say done this, playing basketball.
Yeah.
But, the emotions and the affection that I've always had for the Baltimore fan.
Yeah.
It's so reciprocal. And it always makes me good to be able to come back here and get this warm, reception.
Yeah, that just tells you. I mean, you can say so much about Earl, but as you said, I mean, Baltimore fans are glad to have you back. You helped us remember the nice glory days.
Not just Baltimore now. I mean, he's an icon and everybody
really
from
this
around
whole
the world.
Around the world, yes.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a reason why he's in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he knew this game, loved this game, gave everything to this game. And even now, I actually understand you made news recently because I understand you're hoping to open a basketball theme charter school. So tell us a little bit more about this. This was huge news.
Right. I didn't know it got this far down.
Oh, yeah. We heard about you, Earl. So tell me a little bit. I mean, what's the inspiration behind opening this charter school?
Well, there's a guy named Lewis Katz who was very involved in sports in the Philadelphia area and also the New Jersey area. He was owner of the New Jersey Nets for a while, and he was a very philanthropic type of person who was inspired by education in itself. He died in 2014. But this was actually, what he was thinking about doing. And there was a friend of mine who I've actually been a producer of a couple of his films, Dan Clores, who was responsible to say, okay, since we were doing this, we went down for a couple years, now we're going to get it back and put our focus back in it. So we've done all the due diligence. On the 4th, we hopefully will get our charter.
Fourth of October. Oh my gosh, coming up right around the corner.
Absolutely.
That's exciting.
And so, you know, we've had a pretty good run with this. But this school is going to focus on sports, basketball specifically.
Right.
And,
it only makes sense.
But it's going to deal with all the aspects of, you know, what a basketball scenario would be. The doctors, the journalists,
analytics,
law, and the whole thing. And initially, we'll have 82 students.
Okay.
School is going to be structured, built, and we'll have two basketball courts. We'll also have two studios for people who might want to get into broadcasting, things of that nature. So we've covered kind of the gamut of everything sports.
Wow, yeah.
And what this is, okay, 88 students first year. The second year, which is the ninth grade, the second year, another 88 or whatever.
Wow.
So it gets up to the fourth year where we'll have 322 students.
Wow.
And in that realm, that's how many students will be in the school. And, you know, it's going to be exciting because we've got a lot of people that are excited about it. There are a lot of people are donating their time.
Wonderful.
And the type of knowledge that are being put in the school, you know, is going to make sure and ensure that it, you know, succeeds.
That is wonderful.
We got it here first.
Thank you. See, you did not travel down this far, but we knew about it. And in New York City, right, the school's going to be?
This is going to be in the Bronx, and this will be the first of its kind. So what we're hoping for is that, the success of that school is going to spur it on, you know, it to go to other cities as well. So, you know, we're pretty excited about it. We're going to be opening up in 2020.
Oh, wow. So, that's right around the corner before you know it.
So the school has to be built. You know, we have the site. We have the land to do it. And we've got the people to do it. So,
that's exciting.
I'm pretty happy about that.
Flagship.
Flagship. Future Earl of Pearls coming out. Future Black Jesus.
There you go.
Right? We're excited for it. And it will be for male and females, right?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Everything. Believe me, it'll be, and it'll be a charter school, so the, you know, the only way you can really get in is through the lottery.
Right. Okay.
So there won't be, like, specifically basketball players. But the interesting thing about this is once these guys, you know, the girls, they graduate, they don't have to go into basketball.
Right.
You know, it's all about the other things, but they've got a great background, you know, even going into college.
Yep.
Because they would have done internships and all those type of things and local and you know, in the summertime, other type of major sports teams and things of that nature. So they'll have a great background as to moving out. They also have a great support system. Tutors. We have tutors that'll be coming from colleges and whatnot, and not only tutoring them at school or whatever, where they if they need it, but also going to their homes to tutor.
Okay, that's great.
So they don't have any real reason not to.
You need to succeed in this school, basically, right?
Exactly.
You're making sure, and that's huge because a lot of people talk about that being a student athlete. But I mean, he's making sure that student is put into it. And as he said, you don't necessarily have to play basketball after the skills that you learn. I mean, I grew up playing basketball. I don't play basketball now. I'm a little jealous of people that still do. But just the fundamentals that I learned in the game helped me all throughout life and as a broadcaster.
Right.
And that's what I hear you saying.
Yeah. Well, will only be maybe 12% of the students
Will
play basketball.
Right, for the school.
You know, so the other students will be learning about, you know, all of them will be learning other things, but only 12% of those students will be actually basketball players that will participate in the league.
Wow, well, very excited for it. 2020, look out for this. Is there a name for it yet?
Yes, the Lewis Katz basketball school.
Make sure you guys look out for that. Lewis that's going to be yeah. excited. Right. I like it. I like it. And I'm sure you'll be making common appearances at the school.
Yeah, well, you know, being on the board, you know, we've got to, you know, hire people and so forth and so on.
So you have your board set already?
Yeah, the board is already set.
Who are some of the members on the board?
Well, David Stern is on the board.
Okay, makes sense.
Of course,
I'm sorry, I put you on the spot. My bad, Earl.
Believe me, the board is set up to succeed.
Oh, okay.
So there are a lot of high-powered people that are involved in this as well.
Yeah.
You know, this is kind of an exciting time for me because, you know, on Thursday, we're having a fundraiser for the Jimmy V Foundation.
Yes.
And I mentioned it, gentleman Dan Cloris.
Yeah.
Well, we're premiering a couple segments of a ESPN film or documentary that I'm one of the producers.
Nice.
Oh, and this is called Basketball: A Love Story.
Oh wow! Okay.
And it's a 20-hour documentary that will be on ESPN and primetime starting next month.
Wow.
So it's exciting. It's going to be, it talks about everything in basketball.
Yeah.
Men, women's game, the finances, you know.
That's great.
That's wonderful.
Everything that you can think about basketball, this is going to be include. So we're excited about that, and that's going to be the kicker. On this Thursday coming up.
Wow, exciting! That's so great. Make sure you look out for that. Before I let you go, Earl, I have to get your opinion. What are you thinking of this upcoming basketball season with LeBron switching out west? Is there any hope for the teams in the East, you think, to win that championship?
Well, it's a better hope for the team.
It's a better hope. That's the best way to put it.
to win a championship. You know, it just takes the dynamics, you know, a little bit different.
Yeah.
Of course, the West was already strong.
Already packed, yes.
And so now, you know, you add another faction onto it. And, you know, guys moving from team to team nowadays is a lot different from what it used to be.
Yeah. Right? What do you think about that? I mean, are you behind the players moving to these teams, let's say, quote-unquote, win championships? Are these super teams?
Well, I think that, you know, the name of the game when you play is to go and win championships. Mm-hmm. And guys now, you know, they make the type of money that they can do these types of things. Like this move by LeBron is more of a financial move than playing move, so to speak. It's all good, but he's now he's in position to do more things. You know, Hollywood is right there. His TV shows, all his other enterprises and whatnot are going to be based out of there.
Right.
And so it can't help but have a bigger scope in terms of what he's, you know, wants to do. But in terms of guys moving from team to team, I mean, once your obligation is up with one team, you've played out that obligation. I mean, you know, like teams don't really have an obligation to you, so
that's
you have
true.
To more or less make your way.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting is that I can't really comment on that but so much because, you know, when you think about it, I was probably the first person to stop playing for a team and force them to trade me.
That's a good point, Earl.
So, you know, I can't say a guy is right or wrong, so to speak.
Yeah.
At this,
but I do what's best for his family, you know, and him.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. I have to ask him, though, because I just feel like a lot of people who formerly played, a lot of them sometimes criticize these players. Like Kevin Durant, I know, gets a lot of slack still for going to the Golden State Warriors. But at the end of the day, he has a championship, which is what he wanted, right?
Yeah. Well,
he's still making money.
Two.
He's got two. And people,
three.
Coming people about look, to come right. another one. We're going to give it to him.
Well, people look at him and say, okay, he's not this, you know, as great a player and whatnot. But, you know, all of a sudden now, you know, you look up and say, well, you can't say that because here's a guy that moved from a team that was his team, per se, moved to another team that was somebody else's team, but took over that because he was the MVP of the last two championships.
And he got help.
Right.
And you know, like I said, he still was a star with other stars.
Right, as well. And you know, you can't really chastise him for doing what he wanted to do.
Right.
I mean,
he
played his years out there. He went to a better situation.
Yes.
He succeeded in that situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's more that's going to come with this whole thing,
yeah.
You know. So
yeah.
He set a precedent. I think that's going to be something that's going to be.
Continue.
Yeah. I look back and I think in terms of, you know, me going to New York.
New York, yeah.
And, you know, New York had already had Willis Reed and
yes.
Mark Frazier
yes.
and DeBuscher
yep.
and Bradley and Dick Barnett. I mean, that was a super team in itself, you
that's
know, when
true.
I went there. So,
right.
you know, it's like history repeating itself at
right.
this point.
Right, right.
You know,
if you don't learn by history, it will repeat itself.
Right, exactly.
Play out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Will Chamberlain going to Los Angeles when
yeah.
they had Jerry West and Elgin Baylor.
Yes.
I mean, Gail Goodrich. I mean,
yeah.
so, the,
yeah.
you know, that was in, what, 67, 68, whatever
yeah.
that was. So,
yeah.
you know, I mean, history repeats itself. You just have to be cognizant of what it all is.
Yeah. Perfect. Well said.
I got a quick question before we go, and I know you got to go. last week, as you know, we were watching some people watching the Buffalo game, and one of the players that you know after before the halftime, he made a tackle and he just went in the locker room and just quit. Now, for older guys like us, people ask me this question all the time: would you have done that? And I'm like, well, it's a loaded question because we don't know what really transpired. You know what I mean? So I just want to ask you that question. People ask me that all the time.
Well,
how do you feel about that? You personally, how did you feel about
well,
that?
Well, I mean, you know, it's the times. It's the days, the times, and guys understanding right now of what they need and what their needs are. And seeing what the results are out there with all these brain injuries and things
yes.
of that nature.
Yes.
You know, the other factor is guys in our era and whatnot, if we were playing, we weren't making
yeah.
that much money, so it wasn't about quitting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It was different.
I thought they asked me, I said, but don't ask me that, because times are different
yep.
now.
Yep. But that just shows you the game has changed, right? I mean, that made headlines. Like, literally, the team was like, look, he went to the locker room and said, he's done, literally. And the next thing we know, he sent out a letter on Twitter saying he retired
yeah.
officially.
Well, look at, you know, you go back in history. How about Barry Sanders? He walked away,
yeah.
and he was on the crest of being the leading rusher of all time at
right.
that time.
Right.
And he just
all fairness to him, they wouldn't trade him. They weren't going to do nothing there. So he just did. He said, "Okay, I tell you what, I just,
yeah.
you know."
Yeah, well, that's a heck of a lot of balls
yeah,
to do that,
so to speak, yeah.
because you know, I mean, he was still at the height of his game,
right? Which is very true. All the good memories.
Hey.
Earl the Pearl Monroe is in the building. Thanks so much. Will you be staying around till 11 a.m.?
We don't have that much longer, so yeah.
All right, 5 seconds. So if you want to see Earl, get down here quickly. We're gonna take a quick pick on air, Earl.
Okay.
All right, thanks so much
okay,
for
great.
Having us.
Appreciate
and come
it.
Down and see him until 11 a.m. Then Earl has got to go.
Absolutely.
But he's still here in the rain. Come take pictures. Come get an autograph. And just come say hi.
Absolutely.
Talk some sports, some basketball. Thanks so much, Earl, for joining
Thank
us
you.
Today.
Okay.
We appreciate it. Wow.
Hey,
so,
see, that's the kind of, you know, I can identify with. You know, people that I can say, when they say that you had an opportunity to walk with giants, I had an opportunity to see giants
yes.
when I was
Yes,
playing.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, and it's just particularly, you know, especially here, what he's doing now.
Yeah,
you know,
thanks so much. We appreciate you.
After playing professional sports, you know, with the charter schools and things of that nature, that's what I like.
That's huge.
You know, absolutely.
The education factor.
And you got it here first.
Right there,
you know?
How you doing?
Good.
And you got it here first.
Yes.
That's the great thing about it, the fact that they are starting the charter school. So, wow, that's great. That speaks volumes for Earl Monroe. And like
okay.
I said, I remember
sorry.
I used to play, watch his game.
Garceau.
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 I was
Garceau. Scott
Garceau. You know,
where am I?
And
am
everybody
I on
said,
the West
you ain't Earl Monroe.
Scott
you just shoot the ball
Garceau.
More than everybody else. So, you know. But like I said, we here for the zero. Something bit me. Cancer.
You can get it. It wasn't a nice cat. Yes,
so,
I promise.
No, absolutely. Wow.
All right. Well, we're going to keep the lineup going. That up next, we have Scott Garcelle from 105.7 The Fan. Scott, how are you today? Hey,
great to be here on this beautiful day of liquid sunshine, right?
Yes.
There you go.
And that just shows you we're all still coming out here, all for a great cause. So, Scott, let me ask you, what brought you out here today?
Well, my friend Frank Collada is very involved and has been with the event forever, and he asked me to come by, and here I am. I know what the cause is.
Yes.
But these are the kind of days where you find out who your friends are, right?
Yes.
Everybody shows up when the sun's shining, right?
But yeah. It's pouring rain.
Get a day like this and find out who really wants to be here.
Very true. And that's what we were so impressed by. So the race started at 8:30 a.m. Yep. We saw all these racers here, and we're looking at the weather. We're like, wow, people still came out. People are still coming down. It just shows you we're all here for a good cause. Yeah. And I think this speaks to the power of community.
I agree.
It just shows when there's something that we care about, there's a cause for something like prostate cancer that touches so many of us, whether we personally have it or whether we know somebody that has had it. I mean, it just shows you we want to be here for a good cause, to raise money, to raise awareness. We have free screenings going on, and hopefully we're helping everyone get checked and healthy. That's what it's all about at the end of the
day. And, you know, like I say, in need, for me particularly, you're talking about one out of four. Gonna catch, you know, prostate cancer.
Right, African-American males,
So, you know.
One out of nine males, just in general.
I mean, you're talking about when people really concerned here and they for this great cause. That's what I love about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you talked about the community aspect.
Yes.
And I'm meeting jockeys from Laurel.
We had them on here.
Get a legend like Earl the Pearl in here.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I just sitting with Joe Orselak, who's a good friend of mine on those Oriole teams.
Yes.
And Stan White from the Colts and Ravens broadcaster. So it is neat to see the sports community to come out and get behind something as worthwhile as this.
And I think that's well said. I mean, because I think that's what the power of sports is, right? We have October coming up. Of course, we know that's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. But it shows how sports rally people behind and hopefully bring attention to these causes.
Before
using their platform.
In the end, it comes down to relationships, right?
Yes.
When we hear great athletes retire, they say, what did you miss? Well, I missed the clubhouse, the locker room, the interaction with your second family, right? You have your real family, and then you have your sports family, and these relationships last a lifetime.
And
you rally behind a cause like this, and it's all good.
Well
said.
Yeah. I mean, because we saw last year, they were all hugging and seeing each other. I mean, that just shows you the power of sports, right? Yeah. Like, when you see it, it's a brotherhood or sisterhood.
Bob Ferry and Phil. I see you two better not be talking basketball. There's other things in life, you know, and they both laugh. But they're guys that I've known forever. Bob's a good friend, and I admire Phil's work with the Wiz since I came here in 1980, you know. Phil's been Mike's side, and first as a player and now as a broadcaster.
Yes.
But it's all about bringing the family together to rally behind a cause.
Yes, so wonderful, so wonderful. And just tell me, when you came out here, I mean, what was your first thought when you came out here today and saw all these people?
The sense that there was something special going on, and I heard Bonnie Downing on stage, who's a good friend of mine from Care First, and they're involved big time. And I ran into so many people that I didn't realize, but they've had a family member. This has touched their lives, and they want to be here for somebody, some person, and to try to make a difference. And that's what this is all about. But in the meantime, you can have a lot of friends. You meet new people.
Yes.
You develop new relationships,
and it's huge.
It's all good.
Right, like we met you today.
It is all good.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but people do sense that camaraderie that you had, someone going through the same thing that you're going through.
Absolutely.
And you know you're not alone.
You have a support system, which is huge, right? You see all these people here for a good cause, right? We all come from different walks of life. We all woke up somewhere different this morning, but yet we're all here today for the same cause. And again, we're having a good time. See, there's going to be Zumba. We're meeting celebrities, right? I mean, the athletes are here. They want to take pictures with you. They want to sign your autographs. Their kids are getting the little white things, and they're running. There's a superhero dash for the kids. I mean, it's all in good spirit and good fun.
Right.
Dr. Siegel brought us all here today. We're just honored to be here. And just before we let you go, what words of wisdom or words of advice would you give to someone right now battling with prostate cancer?
I think to look around and know you're not alone.
Yeah.
And there's not only community support, but there's professional support too. There's some great people that can help you cross this bridge and get to where you want to going. And Frank Collada is a friend of mine. I've known Frank forever, and he's Mr. Energy. He's one of those people that faced this and came out on the other side and now is
trying to pitch in to make sure others can do what he did, get through this. So I think a sense of community, support, to know you don't have to go it alone.
Yes, and that's huge. That is huge. Scott Garso, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to see you guys.
Sure to catch him on
All right, enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you so much. Great having you here. And Miles, this is great. We've had, lineup of guests has just been very special, very spectacular. And everyone just with a good message.
And giving their time, and they're out here. You wouldn't know it was raining out here. I mean, so many people out here, everybody being so supportive of what we're doing and understand what we're trying to do in terms of raising money for this great cause. You know, so I'm just excited about this. I'm really excited about this. And, hey, I was telling friends of mine about this since last year we came here. And we had friends out here. So I told some friends of mine about it. And one of my friends came up. And, hey, I got somebody in here that came up. Put that on, Damon. I got to tell y'all about this young man. This young man is an insurance salesman and stuff, and this kind of affects us. I want y'all to meet Damon. Damon, tell everybody who you are, man.
Hi, I'm Damon Ketchins. I work for the Financial Crisis Prevention Center, and I'm excited about supporting this worthy cause, prostate cancer.
Okay, it's a killer of African-American males. You know, you think about one out of four, you know, people will die from this disease. I mean, you being someone in insurance, and I'm quite sure a lot of people get affected by this. What can you tell us about that?
Oh, yes, that's very true. I've had some good clients over the last 26 years I've been in business die from cancer, and particularly men from prostate cancer. And it's all about getting the treatment. Earlier this year, I had my own scare with a benign prostate issue, and I'm glad it was benign, but it let me know that I need to be more diligent and more vigilant about getting, you know, treatment and taking care of my body.
There you go, and that's something that we as African-American males, you know, what is it about that we're just scared to go to a doctor? I mean, why is that? Why do you think that, you know, that we're afraid to go to the doctor? We don't want to hear something bad when you'd rather hear something bad, you know what I mean?
Right, because we figured that the doctor has nothing good to say to us.
Yeah, but you want to know early.
You want to know early. Because nothing like dying from something that's preventable.
Right. There you go. But, I appreciate Damon coming up here. And thanks for coming up, Damon. You know, Damon Ketchin, a good friend of mine, he came up here to support this worthy cause. Hey, man, this is a killer. We got somebody coming up next that is a legend. You know, I used to watch this guy play ball long to when I was young, and I used to always pretend I was Phil Chenier. And everybody say, "You ain't Phil Chenier. You just want to shoot the ball all the time." And you know, I say, "No, I'm Phil Chenier." But I remember. And Phil been a good friend over the years. I know his son went to Howard. I know his daughter. You know, it's just great to have you on, man.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me here on this cold and wet but very productive day.
Absolutely. But look, everybody's here, huh, Phil?
Everybody's here.
Just like last year. Last year we had sunshine.
Well, it was sunny.
Yeah.
Sunny and warm.
But look, it didn't diminish the fact that all of these people came out again. You know, that's the key to it.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about what you're doing now. I know you're still in broadcast.
Well, I'm kind of semi-retired. I'm not doing the full schedule of games. My understanding is that they'll call me periodically to go on with Buck and Kara. Kara Lawson is taking over my position. I'll do some things from the studio. excuse me. The Wizards have had me do some appearances and work with them, which is kind of nice to be still involved.
Right.
So, just kind of take it easy and kind of slow down very gradually.
Oh, man, but you know there ain't no slowing down in us, man. We can't just sit around. We tend to say we're going to do that, but we can't really slow down.
Well, I got a pinochle group that play pinochle. That's pretty serious now.
That's serious. When we start playing pinochle, that means we slow it down. But, Phil, tell me, this prostate cancer, I don't know if it affects you directly or indirectly. Mm-hmm. This is a serious thing.
It really is. But the good news is that when you go to your doctors, your urologist, and that's why in Chesapeake is one of my my doctors are with Chesapeake Urology. You catch it early. They have a wide variety of ways of treating it, and they certainly instill a lot of confidence in you. I actually had two bouts. Back in 2003, I had my first PSA elevation, got checked, biopsy, and found that I did have prostate cancer.
Oh, okay.
And so got that treated and was fine for a while and then started seeing the elevation in the PSA again. So, I got that treated and, knock on wood right now, everything's fine. We hope it continues that way. But I've got a very good friend who helped direct me towards Chesapeake, and I'm very happy to be with them. They're doing an outstanding job because I had a different situation because I had the first treatment.
Right.
That kind of affected my options for the second time. And they explained all that to me, and, I follow up with the doctors, and that's what's important, getting checked out, making sure you have your annual physical, making sure the PSA is checked, and follow the doctor's orders. That's important. So, but you know what's funny is that I've had so many friends that I end up talking with, and just through just through natural conversation, find out that they're going through certain stipulations. I just got back from Vegas. Guy that I grew up with in Oakland, we got to talk and end up finding out that he's about to go through the treatment that I went through. So I was able to tell him some of my experiences, which will help him in terms of understanding what he's going through. And maybe his body doesn't react the same as mine, but maybe there's some tendencies there that I explained to him that might be helpful in terms of him making the adjustment and being prepared for that. So the biggest thing to me is through word of mouth. Make sure we talk. Make sure we communicate. And I had every intention of walking today, but it's a little wet out there, so I decided to sign the autograph.
What a West Coast guy know about this kind of weather. For those of y'all don't know, Phil Chanel is from the West Coast.
That's
but
right.
Phil, that's the great thing about it. The fact that you went through some of the things that he's going through made him feel a little more comfortable.
Absolutely.
The fact that, as I stated earlier, someone that you're not alone anymore.
That's the key to it.
You're not alone.
Yeah.
So we don't have to feel like you're by yourself. I mean, how you think that affected him, in his overall?
He's got this test that he has to do on October 9th. So I told him, I said, I'm gonna call you on October 9th to make sure that everything went well and you followed the steps that you were supposed to go through. So, it's just that kind of connection. It's teamwork, just like we did when we played basketball.
Yeah, what do you say? Teamwork make the dream work, huh? But, and it's ironic that you said that because I'm having some tests done tomorrow.
Is that right? Yeah.
Because the last time I had one done was like maybe 10 or 15 years ago, And my doctor said it's time for you to have one. And, I'm a little nervous.
And that's rightfully so.
Right. And because I'm at the age now where, it's time to, have it done. But, it affected my family, sister-in-law, had cancer. So, mm-hmm. I mean, from a man perspective, we tend to think that, especially for athletes, we think we're invincible, that we can't be hurt.
Right.
And once you get hurt, then we realize that, we're
vulnerable
anyway.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, Miss Nelson back, tell us.
Sorry, I missed your intro, Bill.
It was a great one, too.
Wait, I missed the whole thing.
I did a little something. I hold it down for the host, didn't do bad.
Did a great job.
But Phil, so honored to have you here. Thanks for joining us on Listen In with Kanan. But good to see you again. See, back for another year and a guest on my show before. Phil is all around just a great person.
Well, thank you.
I mean, so I don't know if Miles already asked you this, but just tell me, I mean, what brought you out again this year to support all these wonderful racers that are joining us
today? Well, I'm a survivor, so, you know, I had to support the cause. My doctors are with Chesapeake.
Yes. Yeah.
So it was a no-brainer, you know. And you know what? When I went through the different treatment and different therapy, and everybody was so thoughtful, sensitive, supportive.
Right, which is huge.
You know, because like you were saying, I mean, you have these moments where you're going through this treatment and you're a little anxious,
right,
you know.
I'm
there's
sure.
a little anxiety there,
right.
But the nurses, the doctors, all of the technicians, they're so helpful, they're so confident, infusing, you know, they make you feel a little bit more confident. So, you know, this was a great event to come out to and be a part of and help in any way. I was saying that I had signed up to walk.
Oh, my God, okay.
but rain kind of
happened.
It's
kind of a pouring, right?
But my heart was there. I was there with him.
I probably would have, honestly, I might have walked with you if it was not pouring. Walking back to this tent alone, I still got wet, even with the big umbrella. So
absolutely.
It's pouring
absolutely.
Rain. It's not sprinkling, so Phil has an excuse, okay? It's pouring rain right
legitimate,
now.
Legitimate.
It has not let up at all, but we're glad to have you here. I know he's brightening the spirits. It just honestly speaks to the person that Phil is. I mean, all around, just a great person for a great cause. Of course, a great basketball player.
You know what? I wasn't given credit for the passes I made, but at least I'm assisting somebody.
We're going to give you credit right here.
I'm getting
he's giving us the assist.
There you
absolutely.
Go.
And you see, now, see, being a former football player, I'm used to these elements, but we know that you're not.
No, I got to be inside, man.
Yeah,
I got to be inside.
You know, I ain't coming out there.
That's why we have him in this nice tent, right? We got to protect the merchandise. Phil, he's a national treasure here in the DMV area, so we got to keep him. But Phil, thank you so much for joining us. And, I mean, just when you see some of these people that come back each year, I know you and Earl and Bob and everybody. I mean, what's that camaraderie like when you guys all get together?
You know, that's the other part of it is that you get a chance to see somebody. You know, Earl was a mentor of mine. When I first came here, he and Gus kind of took me under their wings. And even when he went to New York, he still maintained a friendship, and we did a couple of things together at that point. So I've always admired, certainly looked up to Earl, as most people do.
Yes.
You know,
you can only.
But you know, Chu Smith has done a great job in the community.
Yes.
Bob Ferry was the guy that drafted us.
Yes.
You know, I know Lenny Moore has been here in the past.
Yes.
And some of the other people that you meet along the way, some of the baseball players, Kenny Jenkins has been here before, so you start running into these people. Oh, what are you doing now? You know, what's going on?
Yeah.
And again, just like the prostate thing, you find that you have a connection there,
right?
And it's very important and very very supportive.
Yes, and I love that you came out about it. Dr. Siegel said the best thing you could do is talk about it. You come out as a prostate cancer survivor, so it shows you. I think sometimes when people hear this word cancer, some people automatically think of death sentence, right?
Man.
So I think that's why some people are afraid to talk about it. Because I know my family, we never talk about cancer. And I know for males, prostate cancer is the leader for African-American males, unfortunately, in death. But for women, it's breast cancer, African-American females.
Yeah.
We don't talk about it enough. And I think it's good that you're out here talking about it. It shows that we're all people at the end of the day, right? It doesn't matter the name behind you, where you come from, how much you make. It doesn't matter. Cancer can affect all of us. And if you don't get it, you might know someone that has. Mm-hmm. I mean, Phil's standing here strong and healthy. And he still looks like he can play really dumb. He has the women's jacket on.
I
might have to call on him.
As long as I sit down, I can play.
And you know, it's ironic she said that because I was playing basketball. The guy said, oh, Miles, you deuce. I went down the lane and laid it up. I said, I could still finger roll, though. You know? I went to give him a finger roll. Now.
Oh, that's so funny.
I said, time out. Get me out of here. But, it's as I related to earlier, you know, the fact that you can identify with someone.
It's
and as Phil said earlier, a friend of his had, that made that friend feel a lot better.
Right.
You know, even
I love somebody doing that for me, too.
Right. Phil does that for me. We're so used to hearing your voice, Phil, for such a long time. So everyone that knows, that voice that they hear also maybe might be, for a prostate cancer survivor, they've heard Phil's voice, they've seen Phil, but to know that he went through the same thing, it gives them a glimpse of hope. Sometimes I think, I always say people do need heroes or something, some glimpse of hope. That's what Phil is doing here today, and that's what his story is a testament
absolutely.
To. And Phil, you know, I can't let Phil go without, though, talking some basketball. Because we can't have you on, Phil. So the Wizards, media day tomorrow. Doesn't seem like it's not tomorrow.
That is right.
It's right around
training
the corner.
Camp starts Tuesday.
You're right. Phil said, oh, that's right. Oh, yeah,
that's
right.
What happens when you're done, right? He gets to relax now. He doesn't have to worry about media days.
You do.
No, he does. But, Phil, I mean, so we have Dwight Howard here now in Washington. We have Jeff Green. So let's talk Dwight Howard first. So a lot of speculation has been going on with him. People are like, oh, will he get along with John Wall? Will the personalities mesh? Is he the right player for the Washington Wizards with the leaving of Gortat? So just tell me, when you see Dwight Howard as a player, let me just ask this first question. Does he still have it to give it to the Wizards?
Well, I think he does. We saw him play. We saw him four times last year. He was with Charlotte.
You're right.
And throughout the course of the year, he put up some very good numbers. In other words, if we can get 17 and 12 from him, boy, we are on our way.
Right.
You know, he can provide this team with what they need in the middle.
Yes.
A big board. He can block shots.
Yes.
Definitely, he's been one of the, since he's been in the league, he's been one of the top rebounders during the span that he's been in the league. Huge.
Yes.
And again, when you talk about John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, Kelly Oubre,
you know, that lineup,
guys that are gazelles that can run up and down the floor, but you got to get possession. So he can provide what this team needs. They can give him what he needs in terms of perimeter players. And it could be a very healthy mix. And I'm hoping it is. I'm hoping John stays healthy.
Yes.
Bradley has another all-star year. You know,
we can get used to saying that here in Washington. Bill as an all-star. I want to get used to saying that here in Washington.
We called him. We had it last year.
Let's do it again.
Keep it going.
Let's do it again. And it's exciting. I think. And sorry to cut you off, Miles. But Dwight Howard, I think he gets a lot of slack. But I think he is that player that the Washington Wizards need. You said it. He can rebound. He can shoot. I think the only thing Gortat might have been better at was probably the assisting part. But I think that's something that Dwight Howard can definitely work on. But I think for rebounding wise, like you said, a strong protector in the paint—that's what he gives you. Because Gortat, I think, especially towards that intel of his career in Washington, he wasn't that center presence.
Nobody feared him.
Yeah, and he didn't finish off. You know, John gets into the paint and forces that defender, big man defender, just to move a little bit. Any kind of lob or any kind of pass should end up in a dunk.
That's what
you're thinking.
Right.
So Dwight can do that.
Eyes.
But here's the thing that crossed my mind. Dwight's career is still kind of up in the air.
Yes.
I mean, he went to a finals. He went to an NBA finals.
Yes.
He certainly had a lot of promises per first four or five years. And then, of course, the L.A. thing, the Texas thing, all that stuff just seemed to clog his image and his legacy.
Right.
He's with a team that can put his legacy where I would think.
Yeah.
And a player that's been in the league, 11, 12 years.
Yeah, veteran.
That's
true
when
veteran.
You start thinking about, well, how am I going to leave this game? Well, how are people going to think about me when I'm finished?
Right.
He's with a team that can propel his legacy back to where he would like it, I think.
And that's huge. Because speaking of legacy, I mean, do you see Hall of Famer with Dwight Howard? You think that's synonymous?
It's questionable, but if he has a two great years, this team goes to the finals.
Yeah,
I think that only improves and puts him at a much better pace of getting there.
Nice, wow.
I feel that he's maybe the piece of the puzzle that's missing. But I think with this young team can push him. And I think, as you know, Phil, it's all in a combination. I think this is the fit, the piece that we've probably been missing.
Mm-hmm.
And someone make him play to his full potential. I know he got a lot left in the tank, I'll tell people. But I just feel like he needs someone like a John Wall to push him and say, look, give it to us. We come down the floor. We want people to be afraid of coming in the middle.
That's
in the paint.
That's
and
right.
Once we got people afraid to come in the middle, then I think the Redskins, the Wizards will be a total package team.
Redskins try and play football, basketball sometimes.
Yeah, they do.
That is very true.
They do.
We need to play against some of those guys in those games, those fun games.
I'm glad to get that from you in terms of about the Wizards because we was a little worried about them.
Yeah. And let's talk about the other new additions. We have Austin Rivers joining the team, and of course, for the Georgetown fans, Jeff Green is back in D.C. I mean, tell me, what do you think these two players, let's say them two specifically, what will they do for the Washington Wizards?
Well, let me say this. Jeff Green used to put a hurting on us wherever he was.
You remember,
it seemed like he always played well against us, and he did some amazing things. So, and coming back to this area, I think it'll be exciting for him as well as the fans.
Yeah.
Austin Rivers looks like he's going, I'm sure he's going to have to be that backup role when you've got John Wall and Bradley Beal.
Right.
But he brings some experience.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how he meshes his talents in.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you're talking about that, and let's not forget about Markeith.
Yeah, and he's forgotten a lot, I think.
With skills and talents that can really complement not just the outside, the inside game in terms of rebounding and strength inside.
Right.
But he has a perimeter game as well. He has the kind of game that the bigs today are required to have, that inside-outside game.
Yeah.
So his contribution is going to be critical for this team's success as well.
And I think that's huge. I think the more is, I think he's often forgotten. And I think it's because of the consistency factor.
Right.
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 I mean,
and he's got to
put
that
together.
When
he's good, he's good. But right. But when he's not there, sometimes I forget. Sometimes I'm like, I forgot he's on the court sometimes because nothing was happening. But I think if he plays well, and with LeBron out of the East, we have to mention that, Phil. I think the Wizards could do some damage. And just in your opinion, everyone keeps saying Boston is the team to beat in the East. And now also the rise of the Philadelphia 76ers with that nice young team. Do you think that still holds true? Would you
I think Boston has to be considered, you know, the favorite because of the team that they're bringing back.
Yes.
They were one game away from, you know, going all the way.
Yes.
So you have to consider that. And Philadelphia has so much promise. They're still young.
Yes.
And they still have some weaknesses, you know.
Yep.
Their perimeter game isn't where it needs to be. This is a perimeter kind of game nowadays.
Especially now,
if you can't shoot threes,
I don't know what's going to happen, you're going to be limited.
It's so
true. It's exciting. It's an exciting time. Basketball season. I can't believe it's coming back so quickly already.
Right quickly. Around the corner.
Yeah. And quickly, for Phil, get out of here. What happened with Boogie Cousin? Could we have gotten him?
Ah.
I mean, I don't think that was a good fit for us.
I'll tell you why. Because he's not going to be ready to play until February.
Okay.
And we needed somebody to fill that position. You know, and then again, are we going to sign somebody the kind of money that he wanted long term?
Right, right.
So, and then if we don't, we're in that position where we could have him for that 1 year and then he can dash off as a free agent.
That quickly.
I
think that speaks to Jimmy Butler, though, as well. There was questions about the whole thing with Jimmy Butler happening. People were like, well, the Washington Wizards weren't even on his short list. Some people took offense to that.
I understand he wants to leave Minnesota.
Yes.
I was a little surprised to hear that.
It's kind of a mess right there with Jimmy Butler, the whole situation.
The funny thing about it is players today have so much more leverage in terms of deciding where and when they go.
We just heard Earl talking about that.
Right. Was surprising that he took such a small amount
from Boogie.
$1 million.
It's perfect.
That's why I said
this is why. He's not going to be ready till February, maybe March.
Okay.
The Warriors don't need him.
That's so true, though.
Comes in, rolls in February, March, gives him a new dimension. He's on stage for his $1 million.
Right.
He gets to the finals, maybe wins a title.
Yeah.
He's a free agent.
Yeah.
Now he commands top dollar.
Yeah.
You know, he's got himself a ring.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it works. It's perfect.
Right. It's literally a perfect fit.
Yeah.
And I think it'll help change his reputation because, as we know, Boogie Cousins kind of has developed this quote unquote, depends on how you look at it.
Bad
boy.
I mean,
it depends.
You know,
that's true, though.
But Walls, I thought maybe Walls and him had that because they
were John Wall.
People have been talking about that for years. But
I would have got people excited here, though.
It just hasn't happened.
But it hasn't happened.
It would have been interesting.
We're talking about everything. Some people still have hope for KD here in Washington.
That's called wishful thinking. You know,
before we let you go, one quick question. I know you know about last week when the player, I won't say his name, after one tackle, he go to the sideline and just quit. Go in the locker room, showers, and go home.
For
just
the
quit.
Buffalo Bills,
for
he's
the
talking
Bills.
About.
You know, nowadays, you know, I mean, where's your take on that? I don't want to put you out there.
Yeah, I mean, I heard about the story. It sounds so removed from me because, you know, I wasn't able